This is Lorraine Christie. Let's talk about it. Talk about it. Hello, everybody, and happy Friday, or I guess it depends on when you're listening to this, what day it is, but each week it is my goal to bring to you a new conversation talking about relationships, love, loss, pain, God, miracles, and everything in between, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear this episode. I sit down with Katie and her daughter, and we have a conversation about miracles, and I could not imagine having something happen to my child, although I'm not a parent yet, and me not be present. But I think the beautiful thing is that through this entire episode, you see how God's hand is on all of them. And I hope this episode builds your faith, and through this, that you believe that God can do miracles. So without any more time, I will go ahead and just get into the episode. Enjoy. Alrighty, so I have Katie and her daughter Tristan here, and we're going to go ahead and just have a conversation. Before we dive into your guys' story, tell me something right now that you love, like just random. It can be anything, like an app, a song, a book. Something you love right now.
I love coffee.
Really?
All coffee.
I didn't know you were a coffee drinker.
Oh my goodness, yes.
What's your favorite? Do you go to a certain coffee shop that you like?
I love Starbucks, of course. I'm a Starbucks follower. yeah, I love in the summertime, iced caramel macchiato. In the wintertime, I usually try to make my own because they don't make the best hot coffee, I guess.
So, and it's expensive.
And it's ridiculous expensive.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So, okay, Tristan, what about you? What's something you love? How old are you, though?
It's 13.
You're 13, okay. So, what's something that you love right now?
Pizza.
Pizza? Really? Well, we had pizza for dinner, pizza. So that's perfect. So, for those of you who do not know, how long ago, Tristan, were you in your accident?
9 months ago.
So, Katie, if you just kind of want to give a brief haul of maybe what that is. So, like,
sure.
For those that don't know, we'll just give a brief and then we'll go into detail. So, Tristan was hit by a...
Yeah. So, Tristan was hit by a drunk driver. She was crossing the street doing her Sunday school bus route, and he was traveling, hit her, and ran. And so that happened January the 27th
okay.
of this year.
So, Tristan, and you were doing your bus route, right? You did a bus route. For those people that don't know, I mean, I think everyone in the world knows what a bus route is, but can you give us a little detail what that is?
On Saturdays, we go and have outreach, and we knock on kids' doors and ask them if they want to come to our Sunday school. And then on Sundays, we go out and do wake up, which is where we wake up the kids, ask them if they're coming, and then we go and pick them up. We drive around the city picking up kids wherever they are in a specific part of the city for each bus.
Perfect. So how long have you been doing bus work?
I have been doing bus since October of last year.
Okay.
So it was brand new.
So it was new, but kind of like a normal thing you did on Sunday mornings, right?
Well, I officially started doing it when I was 12, but I had been going with my dad since I was like 7 or 8.
So bus ministry has kind of been something you were just used to, born into, kind of like just nothing out of the normal.
Not
per
really.
Se. So do you remember much of like that morning, or can you give us a little bit of...
That morning, it's still kind of a blur, but so I just woke up, got dressed, and we got to the church. We, for some reason, we had donuts that day, and we had passed them all around, and So I was eating them with a few friends, and then I just got on the bus, picked up a few kids, and then we headed to this apartment complex, Las Palmas.
Okay.
And I went into the apartment complex, and I was heading out, and I just remember running through this, like, over the sidewalk, and that's all that I remember.
So that's the last thing you remember?
Yes.
And then do you remember anything else? At, like, do you remember going to the hospital? Like, is that still a complete blank to you?
I blacked out immediately after that. The next thing I remembered was I woke up. Well, I technically woke up 3 days later, but I remember 5 to 6 days later. I don't remember any of it.
Okay.
So, yeah, all of that time is all
still a blur.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Katie, then from you obviously your parents' worst nightmare. You're not with your kid. You get a phone call. I mean, what was that morning like for you?
So it was about 9 o'clock Sunday morning. I was getting dressed for church, and I tell this story all the time because it's so real, but, like, I don't even know if people believe me, but this is honestly what happened. God is my witness. This is what happened to me. I was getting dressed, and the night before, I had been reading about people having out-of-body experiences, and whether it was a sickness or they had gotten into an accident. I have no idea why. I don't usually read that kind of stuff. That's just not my thing. But I was reading it, and that morning I was getting dressed, and I remember I was doing my hair, and I was looking in the mirror, and it was almost like my mind was kind of thinking about what I had been reading, and it was like I could close my eyes, and I could see myself laying on the blacktop somewhere. I don't know where I was. I could just see myself laying on the blacktop. And I remembered that, and my phone rang. And I picked it up, and it was Jason calling, and he said, "Katie, you need to get a hold of Tristan right now." And I said, "Why? I mean, why? She's on bus route. She's with her dad. Yeah. It was dad's weekend." And so he said, "No, you need to call her now. There's been an accident." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And so I hung up the phone, and I remember calling Tristan's phone. And her phone was in her bedroom at my house. Yeah. So there was no, but I called it just because it was just a reaction.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get a hold of her. So I called her dad, and there was no answer. And so I called Logan, her older brother. And when he picked up the phone, the panic in his voice. And I said, "Logan, what is going on?" And he said, "Mom, we don't know anything. I'm with dad right now. And Riley, and we're driving to where Tristan was hit." And I said, "What do you mean she was hit?" And he just said, "We don't know. There's been an accident and she's been hit." And so he put me on speaker, and Philip said, "Katie, I don't know anything, but just get dressed and be ready to go wherever I tell you." So as a parent, I think Philip and I were both thinking, okay, it's an accident.
But maybe not as bad.
I mean, it's not that bad, you know.
Yeah.
Did she get hit by the bus door, or, you know, what could have happened?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that bad. So I remember I was throwing my clothes on, I was trying to get dressed, and Philip called me, and it was about 2 minutes later, and the panic in Philip's voice, and he said, "Katie, you're never going to get here in time. Get to Loma Linda Hospital as soon as you can. It's bad." And when I heard that, from that moment until I got in my car, I do not remember running down my stairs. I don't remember grabbing my purse, my phone, my keys. I don't remember grabbing anything.
Yeah.
I just remember I got in the car, and my first phone call was, of course, to Sister Wilmoth. Mm-hmm. That was the first phone call I made, was to my pastor's wife to say, "Please pray. I don't know what's going on, but please pray." And then I called my parents, and I talked to them. I let them know. They immediately got in the car with my brother and started driving down. And then I called my
Where do your parents live?
They're in Fresno. Okay. So Northern California.
So they just, like, "We're going to get there." Yeah.
Yes. They were at church, and it was like, no question, we're on the road.
Yeah.
My brother came. His wife and my niece and nephew stayed at home because they didn't know the trauma, you know, and why bring the babies down here.
Yeah.
it just wasn't good. So,
you said you called your work?
I did. I called my work. And then I just got on the road and I was talking to my mom and I said, I don't even know how to get to Loma Linda Hospital. I mean, I do know.
Yeah.
But, you know, when your mind is just so fried, I just remember I got on 10 East and I just started driving. And I got about 2 miles on the freeway and everything was shut down to one lane. They were doing construction on the freeway.
Oh, man. That's like worst
yes.
feeling in the world. Like, I just need to get to where I need to get to yes. and I can't. Like
yes. Yeah. It was panic.
Yeah.
So I'm screaming on the phone to my mom, they've got the freeway shut down and I can't get around. And she goes, Katie, go on the side, go wherever you have to go, get to Tristan.
Yeah.
And so I remember there was a cop sitting over on one of the off ramps, but I knew if I tried to get over to him, I was going to be that much further behind. Yeah. And I didn't know if the ambulance was in front of me or behind me.
Yeah.
I didn't know, but I just knew I had to get there. So I went on the side of the freeway. I cut people off. I was saying, bless you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Protect me and keep me because these people are not happy, but I had to get to the hospital.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my trip.
Okay.
At least there.
Obviously, if her dad's saying it's bad, mm-hmm. kind of walk us through, like, you seeing her and you realizing it's bad.
How bad? Okay, yeah. So that was, I did not get to see her until I got to the emergency room. And as I was pulling up, Philip was pulling in. He was right behind the ambulance. So, I mean, I was like seconds. And the only reason why I got behind them is because I missed the exit. So I had to go to the next exit.
Yeah.
Come around. So it was the ambulance, it was Philip, and then I came flying in. And I honestly don't know if I parked legally, if I didn't. Yes. At some point, Logan took my keys and he went and moved my car because...
Okay. You weren't parked right.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. And when I ran in, they had all left me. So when I was running in, I wasn't seeing her. I didn't know anything. So I ran in and there's a desk that you have to check in at and they're trying to get my name. And I said, no, I don't have time. And there was a police officer that... came out of the room and he goes, are you Tristan's mom? And I said, yes. And he goes, get her back here now. And when I went into the ER, it was the most awful scene ever. Tristan was on the gurney thing and all I saw was blood. It was just blood everywhere, you yeah. know, and just no movement from Tristan. And her dad was standing there, he was shaking, and there were, I think Philip counted, and I hope I don't get this wrong, how many people?
10 teams of doctors.
10 different teams of doctors working on Tristan, but teams means that there's like two or three in that team. So I think Philip said like 32 to 35
yeah,
people.
I mean, they were probably just panic too.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Every team had something they were working on.
Yeah.
Her head, her breathing, her body. You know, everything was just, it was chaos, but it was so controlled. And then there were just nurses standing around hugging me and hugging Philip and what can we do for you and walking us through it.
Like what they were doing.
Right.
And, yeah.
Telling us, yeah, everything. So there was no movement from Tristan. She wasn't fighting them. There was nothing. And I think that's what, like, freaked me out the most. They did say in the... Later we found this out. But they said in the ambulance...
They had to tie me down and use restraints.
Yeah, because she was kind of... Yeah. She was fighting them. So that gave them hope. But we didn't know all that till later.
Yeah, so you didn't know that there was some type of response. You're thinking,
yes.
She's been hit. Is she breathing? Is she
exactly.
moving? How long has she been down? So all
right.
these probably thoughts are going through your head when you just see your daughter.
Yeah.
Your firstborn. I mean, not that you love him differently, but, you know.
Right. Well, no, she's like, my second. She's
your
my
second.
Daughter.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Logan. Sorry, Logan.
Yeah, Logan.
Like, well, your first yeah. daughter. Your firstborn daughter.
That's my daughter, like, yeah.
like, you know, just, I mean,
right.
any child, just seeing them helpless.
Yes.
And not being a doctor to know, like, is this bad? Like, is mm-hmm. this... Do I literally plan for the worst? Or, like, did they ever point tell you to plan for the worst?
Oh, yeah. So, it seemed like it was hours, but it really wasn't. They were moving so quickly on her. But I remember we were in there, and they said, okay, we're going to have to intubate her. We're going to have to put the tube down to breathe for her because she's not breathing. And I remember just watching. And when they did that, she started kicking. And that was like my first sign of life, you know, that, okay, she's still there, you know, even if she's not responding, she's there because she was kicking them and kicking her legs and she was fighting.
Yeah.
So,
hey, at that point we're happy.
Yes.
You know, kick and scream now. People might not be too happy about it.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, what I remember, and again, there was so much happening that it was, we were trying to gather as much information as we could from every doctor that worked on her. Yeah. So they were doing MRIs and CT scans and x-rays, and she had a huge gash on her forehead and it was open. So they were like, we've got to get that to stop bleeding. Mm-hmm. Her body was covered in road rash. They were trying to see what internal damages were done and what, you know, what everything. Her right eye was completely swollen shut. So it was, there was just so many different things that were being worked on. But I remember there was one specific doctor down there in the ER, and they had done some tests and they brought her back. And so Philip and I were standing there and we were listening to all the doctors and the nurses talking about everything that was going on. And this doctor walked out of his office, or one of the offices that's there in the ER, and he was as white as his coat. He was one of the top doctors there, and I can't remember. He, something to do with cardiologist or something. And when Philip and I saw him walk out, it was like, at that second, there was absolute panic because I could tell something was wrong with him. And he had to give us some kind of news. And when he walked out and he said, can I talk to you? Like, you know how, have you ever had like where you can hear the blood in your head almost? Like the pounding if you've got a really bad headache. And it, you know, this pounding and this like whooshing sound.
It's
almost
like everything else becomes so loud.
Like, yes, yeah, like you just, but you've got to focus on what this doctor is saying. And I could feel myself almost like, I can't hear anything he's saying. And I was trying to focus on what he was telling us. And he was saying, she has an aneurysm on her aorta. She has it on the aorta in her heart. And there's an aneurysm on the aorta in her groin. And that aneurysm on her aorta could kill her. And he's like, this, it's bad news. And he just kept repeating, I'm so sorry. This is bad news. I'm so sorry. And it was like, I couldn't accept that that was going to happen. Like, you know,
this was going to be how my daughter leaves.
Right,
yeah,
right. Like she was going to die.
This was going to be her story. Yeah.
Right. I mean, how, I mean, yes, it can be an amazing story that she was doing a work for her church, you know, but this can't,
this
end
can't
like
be your
this.
Guys' story.
No.
Like, that's your daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, when they said that, it was like, okay, we've got to go and we've got to pray right now. So they were going to take Tristan back for another MRI. And of course we couldn't go with her. So when they did that, we went into this family room, and, it was Philip's parents, Sister Wilmoth, Jason, myself, Philip, Jennifer, Riley, and I think Logan had gotten there by then. And when we told him, we said, we didn't even think. It was like not even a second thought of, we have got to pray. And it's like, we've got to pray urgently.
Like, we have to pray for a miracle.
Like, a miracle right now.
We're relying on God to do what even the doctors can't at this point.
Right, because she wasn't strong enough to have any kind of surgery. They were not going to do any kind of surgery on her. She was not strong enough. And we just prayed. That was the only thing we knew to do, was just to pray.
Do you think, like, that was probably your, like, when do you feel like was your darkest time? Was that probably it? Like, getting that news? Do you?
No. Honestly, I don't. I feel like, I think my darkest time was, so that was on Sunday. It was that night, Sunday night, we were waiting for the doctors. They had to do another, I don't remember if it was an MRI or an angiogram or a...
Do you feel you like you've become very well-versed yes, in medical science?
I feel like I know everything, yeah. but I don't. Yeah. But all the words, I feel really smart because I use them.
Yeah.
But they were doing another test on her, and there was a doctor. I will never forget him. He was amazing, Dr. Bach. He was the best doctor at Loma Linda. Mm-hmm. And he was very... very straightforward, but he was very concerned about Tristan, and he wanted answers now. Mm-hmm. And I remember they needed answers whether she was going to go into surgery on Monday for that rupture, for that aneurysm on her mm-hmm. aorta. And he said, we are not ending Sunday night without an answer. We have got to have an answer. And I remember I spent the night at the hospital that first night, that Sunday night, and I remember seeing 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning pass, and 4 in the morning and 5 in the morning pass. And we went the whole night without an answer. We didn't know. You know, it was like we did not know if that aneurysm was going to rupture in the middle of the night. We didn't know what was going to happen. And I feel like that was probably one of the darkest times was, but I thought you were going to get us an answer. You know?
Now you're not just disappointed. Now it's just not the situation and all of the emotions and all that going right. along with the accident, but now it's like, now I feel not disappointed, but in a sense like I need to know, you know, like I need someone to come tell me, like I need answers. I need to know, you know, how to move. And now you feel disappointed. Like this is not just any patient. This is my daughter. You know, like I need to know.
Yeah. And I have to say, Loma Linda Hospital, they were amazing. They were so amazing. Yeah. I never felt like they were putting us off or not giving us answers. But in that moment,
it felt like an you're internee,
desperate.
Yeah.
Yes, you're desperate. And I know Tristan's darkest moment is different than mine.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that.
Yeah. But yeah, she was completely out. So she doesn't remember those things. She doesn't
all
know
of this. Yeah. So, and obviously, I mean, Pastor had us praying, mm-hmm. like other churches were praying. So obviously, from the extent of the accident and the extent of her injuries, you know God moved, right?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
When did you guys, when for all of the medical stuff, when did it start to take a shift?
So the first major shift was that Wednesday. One of her nurses, her name was Stephanie, she came in and they would have to clear out, I guess is for lack of a better word or phrase, they would have to clear out Tristan's breathing tube.
Okay.
You know, every 2 or 3 hours they were in there clearing it out. And there were times that they would be doing that and it was to try to make Tristan cough to breathe on her own.
Yeah.
And there were times that that would happen. And so that Wednesday, Stephanie came in and she started doing it and Tristan like swung at her. And like it was like, oh my word, there's a reaction, you know. Tristan swung to like hit her, and it was exciting, you know. It was like, okay, the spunk is coming back, something's happening. And so she left and then she came back and she did it again, and when she did, Tristan started really coughing and like moving and moving her hands and her feet and like she was fighting it and she was wanting to come out of it. And so we talked to the doctors and all of the specialists and everything, and we were, you know, it was like, can we try to extubate her and pull the tube and see if she can breathe and see if she's ready to come to. And the doctor told us, he said, there are 3 options if we do this.
Yeah.
Number 1 option is when we pull it, she's going to be very combative and fighting and screaming and really, you know, fighting against us. And that's the worst thing that could happen for her right now because we need her calm.
Yeah.
Number 2 is there will be no reaction, which means she's brain dead. You know, and that was a very scary reality is we don't know the damage.
If you do something, if you wake her up too soon, it could almost be
worse.
More damaging to her.
Yes. And we didn't know if honestly, if there were going to be any mental or neurological issues.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those moments, like, you have hope that when they do this, she's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, once you do it and you don't get the answers you wanted, like, there was no going back either,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They said that, so there was those two options of absolutely no activity, and that would mean that there was brain damage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or the third option would be they would pull the tube. She would be so calm, but she would be starting to try to come to and want to talk and want to know. So we took those chances.
Yeah.
And we said, okay, let's do it. You know, let's try. And so they asked us to leave the room because they said it could be kind of traumatic, you know, trying to do that and all that. So we did, and we went into the waiting room, and we were praying and just praying that God would let her just be calm. So, because they said if she fights us, we have to re-intubate her, and that's just more traumatic.
Yeah.
You know, so the nurse came out and got us, and we walked in, and she was having a hard time breathing, but they were giving her a breathing treatment, and she was so calm. But it was almost like scary to me because it's like, okay, is this calm because this is the reaction we wanted? Or is this calm?
Because there's no movement.
Because there's no brain movement. There's no activity there, you know, nothing. So I went to the side of the bed and I like patted her leg and she tried to open her eyes. And I remember she looked at me and of course the right eye was completely shut. She couldn't. But the left eye, she was looking at me. And her dad was there, and we were talking to her and stuff. And I knew we had decided that I was going to tell her that there had been an accident, but we weren't going to tell her everything quite yet. And this is kind of a funny part. It made us laugh. Go ahead. Tristan wants to say.
They had told me, okay, Tristan, you've been in an accident, and that's why, because I was wondering, where am I? What happened?
Is this what you remember, or
yes.
So this is about the first time?
I remember this part after that thing started getting blurry, because at first they told me about it, and I was like, okay, starting to come back. And I remember waking up and saying, like, what's going on? Where am I? And they said, okay, you've been in a car accident, and you're in a hospital. And I just remember saying, why is Logan such a bad driver? Because I was always scared whenever I drove with my brother because he was a crazy driver. And so, and Logan
oh,
was
you
standing,
thought, like, you got
yeah,
next
Logan
to your
was
brother,
standing
yeah.
next to my bed, so I was like, why isn't he, like, next to me in the hospital? Why is he standing up? And then, like, they were like, no, it wasn't Logan, you were walking, and I was like, oh, okay. Because then they told me he's going up to when she gets a treat, my dad's like, yeah, I gave him my car, and I was like, you're really dumb, Dad.
She was still under a lot of medication, but what's funny is that's actually probably 5 or 6 days after she woke up.
So she remembers that was my first day. Yeah.
That was her first day.
So her, it was like, she doesn't remember nothing before until later you start remembering, maybe.
Yeah, and because that happened on Sunday, her accident happened on Sunday, and her talking about winter youth retreat, it was supposed to be her first year to go.
Mm-hmm.
She had paid her own way, and she thought she was going to be able to get out to go.
Yeah.
So that would have been that next Thursday.
Yeah, really.
You know, or Friday.
Yeah.
That she's remembering that as her first day when really she woke up on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, I feel like when we talk about the miracle, I mean, people, they know she's a miracle. They know there was an accident, you know, but...
And this wasn't just any accident. I don't think we've covered that. I mean, the guy was going...
He was going about 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, so he hit her full on.
Oh, yes. In a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Yeah.
And threw her body from everything that the police could figure out and from reports we got from a friend who's close with the police department. It threw her about 90 feet in the air.
This wasn't just a small
accident. It wasn't
accident.
Just a little bump.
Yeah, like...
Yes.
I mean, in all sense, she's even a miracle being able to...
To walk.
To walk, to breathe, to function.
Yes, because the damage that was done to her, and
or she didn't hit something else, and I mean, there's so many other worst case scenario things
or
that
could happen. Or that a child wasn't with her.
Yeah.
You know, her walking the child across the street to get on the bus, or there's so many things, but the extent of her injuries was a fracture to her skull, a fracture to her, the bones around her eyes. She had lacerated kidney, liver, spleen. She had road rash from head to toe. Her right pelvis was fractured in the front and the back. What am I missing, Tristan?
The broken neck.
Aneurysm on her aorta. Yes, she had a broken neck.
Broken back.
A broken back. She had, you know, fractures throughout her back.
Lacerated kidneys.
Yeah, spleen. I did those.
So something else that I'm forgetting.
All of those, I mean, the lung, she had a, yeah, fracture in her skull.
No,
you know,
the leaking. But that's
that came later. Yeah, that's okay. Tristan's dark point is the later on thing.
So tell us about that. What and I mean, I know you don't remember the initial trauma and all of the beginning days of that, but this process has probably just been tiresome on your body, on your emotions. So what was probably the hardest part for you?
The hardest part was finally getting out of the hospital after rehab. And then I had a brain fluid leak because there was a tear in the lining of my brain. And so I went back to the hospital, had a craniotomy, which is where they were patching it with like a layer of skin that was on the bone, and they like cut my head open just to do it, and now I have a big scar. Thankfully you can't see it, but I got out of that and then started up again. I went back to the hospital, had a lumbar drain, which is where they drain a few cups of brain fluid out to try to keep the pressure off of, because they used it as a flap.
Yeah.
And they thought that it just wasn't sealing up. And then I got out, finally, after not leaking for a little bit. And I was like, okay, I'm fine. They said I was fine. Nothing's going to happen. And 2 weeks later, it started again. So, again, back to the hospital. And this time, there was going to be no scars, nothing. So they were going to go through the same spot in my back to do the lumbar drain, and they did a surgery where they stick a camera up my nose and they check to see if there are any other holes, and if they when they find them, they are going to, they took skin out of my stomach, they took fat out of my stomach and plugged the holes with it, and then they had me in there for a couple of hours, which I don't remember, but this is what they said, just leaning me up to see if anything would happen. Thankfully, that was the last time, and I haven't gone back since. But I think just going back and saying, okay, everything's fine, and then having to go back to the hospital again. And it just seemed like I would, like it was never going to be over. So.
Yeah. But the bright side is you're doing really well today, and you're how long was the hole, Katie? Like, what was the, like, full extent of from the day it happened to her last surgery? How many months?
January to February was the first hospital in rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And then March I went back for the craniotomy. Then I went late March, beginning of April, for the lumbar drain. And then April... So probably April was the last time.
Well, you were in there. When did Logan go on his senior trip? End of April? Yeah, that was her last time. They let her out the day.
I mean,
day.
But just matching the severity of her injuries to say you're in the hospital 4 months.
4 months, yeah.
Like, I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, people...
Yeah.
I mean...
With lesser injuries.
Are in rehab and get movement back. So it's just like, it goes to show you, obviously...
Yeah, she was in a...
You really are even just a walking miracle with all the extents of everything, you know?
She was in a wheelchair for 3 months. And she got to start doing therapy, and the first day she went into therapy, it was like, I want to walk.
Yeah.
I want to try. And they let her stand up.
We asked them, am I going to be able to walk? How long? And they were like, do you want to walk? And I was like, yeah, I do. I'm tired of this wheelchair. And they were like, okay, stand up. I was like, what? Like, stand up. Because they had a walker in front of me.
Yeah.
They said, hold on, just pull yourself up. So I tried. I couldn't pick myself up the first time. Then after trying to pick myself up the second time, I could stand. I walked around the room. But, of course, I got tired afterwards. Yeah. And I just sat down. He was like, okay, you're fine. You can walk around. Just make sure you have someone by you. And I was like,
So then you're just rebuilding your walk and your strength. Yeah. So now, I mean, we're at 10 months, you know, right? Yeah, 10 months.
10 months.
Do you feel like you have any limitations now, or do you feel pretty much
it's just back walking to- around for a long time, my ankle still swells up. And they said that it's just my body trying to get back to normal.
Yeah.
Because it was okay, so I can't walk. And then suddenly just getting up on my feet. There was no, like, gradual little thing. It was just get up. And then now it's, like, the up and down. So my foot just swells whenever I'm up on it for a while or I'm sitting down for a while, like on road trips or anything. And I have to have surgery in November for my eye. When I look to the left, I have double vision where I see two of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But before, when my eye was swollen, if I would open it, everything was double. So it's gotten better, and then gradually started getting a little bit worse, but it's definitely
so, I mean, thank God. Yeah. I mean, you're kind of out of the worst of it now. And obviously, can you tell us a little bit? Now you're already back on your bus route.
Yeah.
So you didn't allow this to defeat you, you know?
Yeah, the first Sunday that I could walk, I was able to go on bus. Sadly, I had to stay in my seat for the most of the time, but
but you got back out there. And so now, do you do your own, do you get off?
Yeah.
And
I get off, help gather up the kids.
Do you ever feel a little scared?
Crossing the street, but
she doesn't cross the street.
So. Oh, they don't let you cross the street?
Well, now we pull up to the side.
Oh,
just I'm having to go across the street. And so now I'm back on bus, go on outreach, and it pretty much everything's back to normal except for just a few little things that.
So was it nervous? Were you nervous going back or scared or?
Not really, but because my dad was with me and he was like, you're not getting off the bus. You're staying on. You're staying in that seat.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't as scary as, okay, so I'm back on bus, my first time, I have to get off, but it was still nice to see all the kids again.
Do you feel different?
There's definitely, like, when you hear that this happened for someone, this is a miracle, you're like, oh, that's nice, but that happens every once in a while, or that's never going to happen to me.
Yeah.
If I need something, it's not going to happen. But seeing this, how it happened, now when you hear that, you're just happy that someone else got to be healed or had, like, an experience to where they don't believe that that happened a long time ago or that happens when you get older.
So it gave you a stronger belief that miracles still do happen.
Yeah. Like, little kids think, yeah, when I'm older, maybe I'll have a miracle. When I'm older, this is going to happen. When I'm older, that's going to happen. And I was 12 at the time, and it still happened. It doesn't matter the age.
Yeah. So how do you, as a mother, are you, like, super parent? Do you wrap her in bubble wrap or where she goes? Like, how has this changed you as a parent, or your guys' relationship, what does that look like now?
As a parent, I am a little more cautious. Always growing up, and even as an adult, I was very not untouchable, but, you know, I just thought, you know, let's just live life. Yeah, let's live life freely. Yeah. And, you know, I let my kids just be free and, you know, do things and whatever. And now it's a little more, you know, you're a little more cautious. And I do see myself, you know, like checking things more often. And I mean, Logan's 18 years old and he's out of the house and, you know, he's doing his own thing, and I still find myself checking at night. Okay, where's Logan at? You know, at least if he's at home, you know, then okay, I know he's good.
Yeah.
You know, or Tristan and Riley, when it's time for them to go to their dad's house, it's a little more, I find myself just texting every once in a while. I'm like, hey, everything okay?
Just, you know, want him to check in.
Yeah, just, you know, need to say hi, you know,
yeah. Or,
and I find myself wanting to stay a little closer to home, because if something were to happen, I need to be to my
available.
Kids. I need to be there, you know,
yeah.
And yet I also find myself, wanting to be out to tell people about the miracle, you know, and to be, I post it all the time on my Instagram. If you don't believe in miracles, come talk to me. Let me talk to you. Let my family, let, you know, Riley and Tristan tell you about the miracle and all of that.
Yeah. So how you made a silly comment that people couldn't hear earlier, Tristan, about your mom being your nurse. So how do you feel like this has affected your guys' relationship?
Well, like she said, she's a lot more like, okay, where are you guys? Are you okay? Especially on youth trips when I go out with the youth. Especially, like, if I'm just going somewhere, she's not as worried. But when if I go, like, out of town, she's like, Tristan, where are you? Are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. But when I had to have, it was, like, wound care.
Yeah.
She would have to, like, patch it up. She would renew all the stuff on it.
Yeah.
And she was always, like, a little more cautious. Like, okay, have I done it yet? Like, do I need to do it? Are you okay? Does it feel okay?
Yeah.
And she's a lot more cautious. Because before she'd be like, okay, don't fall. Don't trip and fall. And now she's like, okay, are you okay? Are you wearing everything?
Are you breathing?
Yeah.
And before, like, I got hurt, she's like, it's okay, get a band-aid over there.
Yeah.
Now she's like, are you okay? Did you hurt yourself? And I'll be like, I'm fine. She's like, are you sure? But I definitely think that it definitely would have been different. Even though I wouldn't have probably have, like, noticed it, if I was gone, it would have been a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with brothers and sisters, you always just have that, like, you get mad at each other so easily, and you're like, you're so annoying, like, I wish you would go somewhere else, I wish you would die.
Yeah.
Like, you just say the, like, the most...
Yeah, what brothers and sisters do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we still fight. But it's not any of, like, the, I wish you were dead, I wish you would go away. And, like, obviously, like, if one of my brothers died, I'd be like, what do I do now?
Yeah. Obviously, it's a new appreciation probably for each other, because you know how easily someone can be taken away.
Even on something you think, I'm doing something for the church, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing something for the church, I'm not doing anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I was on bus route.
Yeah.
And
doing ministry, yeah.
This happened. And now, and you know, it can just happen anywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, with Logan living out, he doesn't live in our house anymore. He's 18, he thinks he's an adult. And so now that he's out, he's like, I'll find myself just looking for him. I'm like, where'd Logan go? Where'd Logan go? And you just know.
It makes
you
more paranoid now.
Yeah. Now I'm paranoid. Like, is Logan okay? Is Riley okay?
Yeah.
Obviously, I wasn't the one being worried, but I know, like, how easy it was.
Yeah.
to get hurt.
Yeah.
And you're always just like, okay, what, is he okay? Is he okay?
Yeah.
So
I guess my last question, and we'll wrap this up, is what would you say to someone right now, Katie, that feels like they're in the thick of it? They're in the thick of their needing their miracle. Mm-hmm. Like, what is something that you would say, whether it's that they're going through a loss or a tragedy or something, to say, like, they're being you and they're watching the clock saying, God, I need you to show up. I need a miracle right now.
I think just putting your trust in those around you, as long as they're being positive and they're uplifting you and they've got the right intentions. And, you know, prayer is huge.
Yeah.
Prayer is huge. And even if you don't believe in a God or you don't believe in prayer, reach out to those that do.
Yeah.
You know, I know that people that listen to this podcast, they may go to church. They may not go to church. They may believe like we do. They may not believe like we do. But when I was at my lowest point, I text and I messaged everybody that meant something to me, you know, and people that I worked with, people that I knew from high school, people that I worked with back when I lived in Fresno in 1996, you know, they were messaging me and they would say, what can we do? What can we do for you? And my answer was always, please just pray. Because sometimes you're not going to have the strength to pray for yourself. Reach out to somebody that's going to pray and just know that God works everything out in his time. We would have loved to have had Tristan, this to have never have happened.
Yeah.
Or we would have loved to have got there to the ER and them say, you know what, she's hurt, but she's good.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Or like a full healing where she didn't have to go back to the hospital all these times.
Yes.
Yeah, but sometimes it doesn't always work out that way.
It doesn't. And you will find that you depend on others to pray for you or to give you strength when you don't have the strength yourself. Yeah. That's the biggest thing, is let others help you. Let others pray for you. Let others be there and take care of things for you, because in the end, the only thing that matters is your family.
Yeah.
You know, and you be there for your child or your loved one or whoever it is that's going through it. You be there for them.
Yeah.
And everything else will work itself out.
Yeah. How do you think this has changed your guys' faith? Obviously, you already mentioned, like, you believe now it's not miracles just for any age. Like, you believe now, you said you were 12 and you felt like, man, God showed up for me. Like, I believe now God can heal, redo anything. But what about you, Katie? How do you feel like this has changed your faith?
You know, I have faith that anything can happen now. Anything.
Yeah, it's like, can't tell me what I don't know now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you can't say, I don't believe in miracles. I'm sorry. My daughter is a living miracle.
Yeah.
My family is a miracle. Riley and Logan, they are miracles because they made it through this.
Yeah.
You know, we all are stronger from this.
Yeah.
When I see an ambulance go flying down the freeway or go, you know, by my house or whatever, it's an automatic reaction that it's a, oh God, please help whoever's in that ambulance.
Because you know, funny that I know we're going to get off topic here a little bit, but that's so funny because, I used to tell people, like, it's easy to have compassion for big things, but maybe it's to have true compassion, I think we need to start with the small stuff. And, like, what if someone was so mad at, like, driving on the freeway and you cut them off?
Yeah.
And they got mad. Instead of, like, now I try to look at, maybe if someone cut me off, maybe it was because they just got the worst news in their life and they're heading to the hospital. Or maybe they just found out their wife's in labor and they're trying to get to her. Or what if they're feeling like they're going to, like, I always try to say, let's, like, show compassion even in the smallest things, to say, like, let's not assume and get all upset that someone cut me off. Like, just think, like, what if
there could be an emergency somewhere. Like, absolutely. You know?
Or I did hear someone say, like, when you see an ambulance, like, or a fire medic, like, mm-hmm. as Christians, like, it's our job to say, like, I don't know that person, but I would want someone, if they saw an ambulance, absolutely. And it was my kid or my loved one, that I would want them to pray.
Yeah.
And, you know, even, like, Brother Brandon, when he's, like, has us pray for people, he's like, let's pray like it's your brother and sister, mm-hmm. or let's pray like it's your child. But now it's, like, for you, it's, like, I knew I wouldn't survive without prayer, so yeah. now, like, I'm going to be that for someone else, you know?
Absolutely, and I feel like you start to be thankful for the little things, and yeah. thankful for the things that, I mean, we get up every single day. We get out of bed. We yeah. walk ourselves yeah. to the bathroom or to the kitchen or to the living room, and going through those months of Tristan not being able to walk, and we would wake up at 2 and 3 in the morning, and I would have to get her out of her wheelchair and get her out of the bed, and, you know, being thankful for those little things.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's huge. And every single time I'm on the 10 freeway and I drive by that hospital,
yeah.
every single time, it might be a 2-second prayer of thank you, God, for that hospital. Yeah. There are times when I'm on my way to church and I'll pull over to the side of the road, get out of my car. I've taken a picture before. Get out of my car, and I just stand there and say, thank you, God, for that hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a miracle and for the prayers. But
yeah, because God works miracles through right. people sometimes, or right. through other, you know, it's not just some powder dust. Sometimes yeah. he uses people, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, I can definitely tell that you guys have a special bond just sitting with you guys. But I'm so glad you guys wanted to do this. And I, when, you know, thinking about people I wanted to interview, I wanted to do this because I feel like as a parent, this is, like, obviously the worst phone call nobody wants to get that kind of phone call. But to see the strength of Tristan to even go through this and then say, I'm not going to let this stop me from doing ministry at a 12 and 13 year old.
Right.
I feel like there's so many stories in this one story, you know, yeah. the bond between a mother and daughter and a relationship, and, you know, being able to be there for her, and this not being how it ends. Now you get to be there for all the other, you get to walk by her side now through all the good stuff too, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, her just continuing to do ministry and not let that hold her back, and to get a revelation at her age about miracles.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, who knows where you'll be when you're 30 and mm-hmm. believing in miracles, and how many more miracles now get to be in her life because she has a revelation that God does, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how exciting to have that revelation at such a young age that no one can take that from her, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think one other thing real quick and we can end it is, if you do go through this kind of a situation or any traumatic situation, whether it be a death or a, you know, a loss or a divorce or anything in your life, is make sure you don't forget about your other kids. You know, if one of your kids is suffering, make sure you don't push off your other kids. You know, yeah. Riley and Logan, they suffered from this.
Yeah.
They really, really did. And, you know, just make sure that your other kids know that they're loved, and don't forget about them.
Yeah.
Because
it's easy to, I mean, we're human. It's easy
oh,
to
yeah.
get sidetracked on one individual that you
yeah.
you forget to, you know, realize that, like, you still had to play mom
yes.
to two other kids.
Yes.
And
yes.
and as much as you wish you could have gave up everything, you didn't have that luxury because,
yeah.
you know, you had two other people that required attention. And I mean, you guys didn't get to hear this, but we spoke to Riley a little bit ago, and, you know, seeing him not being able to be there in the first little bit and mm-hmm. how that kind of affected him a little bit, and, you know,
yeah, it's traumatic
yeah.
even for your little ones,
even you know? Though he didn't see anything, just
right.
imagining, you know,
right.
what could
well have... He did show up to the scene of the accident.
Okay.
And the police officers got him back in the car, but he does remember seeing her laying on the ground.
Yeah.
He said that he saw my head. He, for some reason, he didn't see my head being cut open.
Mm-hmm.
He just saw my face. It was white.
Mm-hmm.
And he just and that's all he said he remembers. He didn't
yeah.
see anything else. But then he got rushed into the car. And I know, like, Logan didn't show it as much, but they both were ended up, like, obviously, they were worrying, like, where are you guys staying tonight? Okay, we're going to stay with this person. But it was always, like, okay, Logan, can you pick this up for your sister? Can you get this from the house? Can you do this? Can you do this? And it was never, like, obviously, you're still worried about them, but
he was trying to be strong.
Yeah.
Get what needed to be done.
because Logan ended up acting like Riley's, like, I almost said mom, like Riley's dad.
Yeah.
He had to be the parent in that situation.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, he's an adult, technically. Yeah. But he had to be, if it was just him and he didn't have to worry about Riley, I think it would have been a completely different thing.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been the same where he was at the house. I think he would have been in there because if Riley wasn't there, he could have been in there the entire time.
Yeah.
In your room with you.
Yeah.
He knew I'm better fit relieving that stress from you and realizing that sometimes in situations, saying, family roles change.
Saying, like, well, if I go in there, Riley has to stay out here by himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I go to the hospital, Riley's at home alone. Or he has to be with one of the parents. He can't be with both of them. He can't be in the room.
Yeah.
He had to wait until I was in step down where I could come out there to even see him.
Yeah.
And
it so, was, I mean, it affects everyone differently. Like, where he probably, I mean, carries a different weight or a different, that was a different storm for him than it was for you and, you know, them, the parents, the dad, the grandparents, everyone, obviously, everyone that loved her was affected, but the close-knit family, obviously, it affected everybody differently, and, I mean, you guys all made it through, and you're still a family, you still love each other, so that's good. I'm so thankful that you guys were able to be here, and I can't wait for everybody to hear this wonderful story of a miracle.
Yes.